Well, hello everyone. This is Tanya Gabrielle. This is not December. I was just doing research on December, so I said that month. It's November, of course, November 17th, a very, very big day. I actually created a video about it. It's so big. So, yes, it's definitely not December yet. What a day this is. I'm so excited. We actually scheduled our call today because there's really so much energy in the air, and it's so exciting to, you know, just be talking to all of you on a day like this. So I am thrilled to be here with you, and I want to tell you a little bit about what's coming up in December. That's what I was just doing, preparing for that. And there are several questions that came in. And, of course, we have this second month in a row now on our new system. So the way you talk to me is you press *2, and that's how you get into the queue. That's how you put your hand up for me to see you. Okay, so just press *2 if you want to get in line. And if you have a question for me, or if it's a follow-up to anything you sent to me by email, that I will answer. So, but let me get into, first of all, just mention again, I'm sure you, most of you read the newsletter I sent out this morning about it being a double 17 day, and it really is a profound day. I hope you feel the energy coursing through your day. It is very, very strong. The numerology for a double 17 is quite remarkable. There's something that happens in this kind of moment, especially during the kind of month we're having now, which is, you know, after the two eclipses, and we're about to go into the sixth of seven Pluto-Uranus squares in December, and there's just a lot happening for everyone. We're in a nine universal month, of course, which is about letting go. And we're in a 7 year, which is deeply spiritual, introspective. And so the whole combination makes it even more potent, because you literally have the opportunity to go within in a way that you usually may not have, meaning your insights and ability to listen to your soul and what your soul is speaking to you is very, very strong today. So whatever is going on in your life today, just know that it is a preview of things to come. So focus your attention on those things you want to really have blossom in your life. Okay, so having said that, let's move on to December, because that's going to be a very wonderful month of new beginnings. We have, of course, our seven universal year, and when you add 1 + 2 for December to 7, you get the number 10. And that is the number of instant manifestation. And it happens to be in the same triad as the number 7. 1, 5, and 7 are in the mind triad in numerology. That's what I call it, the mind triad. And it is very much about the ability to focus, to think things through, to analyze, to use your intelligence in the way it was meant to gather information that is useful to you and use it in a very productive way, and get insights. You know, 7 is very much about intuition, so the mind and the heart join together for the highest intelligence. So December has this instant manifestation number going for it, and it'll feel like a restart. It'll feel like a new beginning for that reason. We've had a series of new moons starting at 00 degrees lately, and there's another one in December on the 22nd. So there is a new beginnings feeling in general in the air now anyway. And then in December is, I think, when you'll really start to feel it even stronger because of the numerology now coordinating with the astrology. So that'll be definitely felt. And the other thing is this 1-5-7 triad is literally being triggered in the degree numbers of the astrology all month long for the important transits that we're having. So let me just explain what I mean. On the 6th of December, which is, if you add up 12-6-2014, that's a 16 universal date, which is a 7. That date is the Gemini full moon. And the Gemini full moon takes place at 14 degrees. So not only do we have a 16 date, which is a 7, 1 plus 6 is 7, but the actual full moon takes place at 14 degrees. So those are all, 14 is a 5, of course. So 1, 5, 7, those are all in the 1, 5, 7 triad in numerology. And the 14 degree mark shows, of course, a connection to 2014 as well. And it indicates lots of change. This is the media number. So, you know, it involves everything relating to internet and connections and communication between people and shifts and adventure. So it'll be a very active new moon. Full moon, I should say, on December 6th. Remember, this is a Gemini full moon. Gemini itself rules the mind. And these are all mind numbers that I'm throwing at you right now. So the correlation between the numerology and astrology is extremely strong with this one. Then on December 15th, we have Pluto and Uranus coming together exactly for their 6 of 7 meetings in this square that's been going on for several years now. The final meeting takes place in March of next year. That'll be a big one because it's the final one, and then it's all over. Then the whole period we've been in, the 4-year period, will be over. But this is the 6 of 7, and it does take place on the 15th, as I said, universal time. It'll be 5:14 a.m. in London, Greenwich, England. And that time, actually, for the West Coast, for those of us in North America who are Pacific time or Mountain time or Central time, this actually takes place on December 14th. That is obviously a different number. It's the number 14, not the number 15, and of course that makes a difference. So, but the actual universal time is December 15th, and when you calculate that day, those of you who know by now, you know that the 6th of December was a 16-7 day, so the 15th of December would also be a 16 day. Why is that? Because 6 and 15 add up to the same single digit. 1 plus 5 is 6. So for the universal time, for Pluto-Uranus coming together, it is again a 16-7 universal date, and that is profound. It triggers that 1-5-7 triad again. This time the degree number is not in that triad. It is actually 12 degrees, which brings a lot of learning. It brings self-expression because 12 reduces to 3, and it can indicate at times for some people that they will feel victimized. So be aware of that. It is a great time to look at any victimization issues you may be feeling as a result of this square that's happening, because these squares are quite intense between Pluto and Uranus. And so you do want to pay attention to things that come up in your life, because it's a great time to clear them out as you see clearly what's going on with you. So that's the second one. And then the third transit I want to look at with you is the new moon, the Capricorn new moon on December 22nd. That is a master number day, and it follows the actual winter solstice in the Northern Hemisphere on the 21st. So it's right on top of it, actually. It literally is almost on the solstice, because it takes place at 1:37 a.m. And I need to actually look when the solstice is. It may be literally happening during the solstice. I need to check that, because in the Northern Hemisphere, North America, that time of 1:37 a.m. universal time is December 21st. It's not even the 22nd. So I'm going to check real quick here in my ephemeris what I can find. If any of you know when the exact solstice is, just speak up on the call and we can figure out what time that is. Because if it is happening exactly on the solstice, that's very profound. Something I did not catch. Anyway, if any of you know, you can speak up and raise your hand and we can have a look at that. But that new moon is at 00 degrees again, just like all the previous ones we've had recently. So like I said, this 00 degrees, it is so profound. It's the eyes looking out at the world. It is the center point. It is not a number. These eyes are the windows to the soul. and they signify tremendous change, so much change. I mean, I'm sure you're noticing in your life and the people around you that things are shifting, whether it's externally or internally. There's something going on energetically that is taking you to a new place where you have to just pretty much readjust what was there before in some way. Get a new perspective on very big parts of your life, and adjust to those. And like I said, this can be internal or external. Usually, obviously, everything starts internally and then projects outward, but very often we're not aware of what's going on internally. So if you are aware, which the 7 year is allowing you to be much more aware about this internal process that you go through, the subconscious process, if you are aware, you know what it is in your life that is shifting profoundly. And it may be a couple areas, right? It may be your finances and your relationships, or your career and family dynamics. It may be two things, not just one. But things are shifting, and this 00 again indicates that. So watch that in your clients. Explain it to them. You know, people feel so much better when you can validate for them that there is something going on that is allowing you to move to a new place, and that often can bring pain, right? Because pain is an indicator that there is some kind of blockage. That's all it is. It's not to make you feel bad. It's just an indicator, a message to you that there's something that needs looking at, something that needs shifting. The water isn't flowing clearly, so there's a kind of a block that you need to look at and melt down and place your attention on very, very clearly. And by doing that, it removes itself, and then the water can flow very, very gently and beautifully again. So these are the moments we are all facing now, is small and large moments of pain or readjustment, or just, there's things that come up during times like this that just automatically, naturally move us almost effortlessly sometimes into a new space where we just feel different. We feel like our energy has somehow recalibrated, like the cells in our body are different, or, you know, they're vibrating to a different rate. This is what I'm talking about, and it's all happening to prepare you. Obviously, everything is always a preparation for the next moment. We know that. In this case, the preparation is very much about you clearing out debris that's there that would prevent you from really taking advantage of next year. Okay, next year being 2015, the huge, huge abundance year. It is exactly why I am creating my Wealth Generation mentoring program, is to take advantage of that energy, right? So this is what you want to do. You want to clear out what, no matter what it is affecting your ability to bring in the financials, because it's all connected. So if you want to make more money, you need to, and you know, money is just an indication of the energy in your life, right? That the money that you make or not make is an indication of how your energy is lined up. So if you want to bring in more of something, the universe has to feel there's a big welcoming sign. And that welcoming sign is created by virtue of you clearing out stuff that is not in flow, that's not in balance. And so right now, these 00 new moons are saying, this is your balance point, pay attention, especially around the new moon, but just in general, because there's so many consecutive 00 new moons, you really, really want to do that. This is the zero point, the point of no return. You definitely want to go to that place. Okay, so, and when I say point of no return, what I mean is there's no turning back, and that's good. You don't want to turn back. You don't want to go back to the past way of doing things. But it's literally a visceral feeling that you will have in your body, mind, and spirit at this time. So going back to this Capricorn new moon, it takes place, like I said, the 22nd Universal Time, Greenwich, England, 1:37 a.m., and that makes it a 14 universal date. If you add up 12/22/2014, it adds up to 14/5. And of course, again, that is in the 157 mind triad. We're in 2014, as you know, and amazingly, the 00 degree, as you know, we have minutes in astrology. There's not just degrees, but there's minutes next to the degrees in any astrology chart that you look at. You'll see the bold numbers are the degree, and then usually in the smaller numbers or unbolded numbers are the minutes that lead up to the degree. And the minutes go from 0 to 59, right? And then the degree moves up one more step. So we're at 20, we're at 1222, we're at 00 degrees with this new moon, and the minutes are 7. So it's 07, 00.07. There's that 7 again, 157 triad. I'm telling you, it's really, really activated. We're also in a 10 universal month. That's a 1. So your mind will be so active during December. There's going to be so much for you to consider and digest and think about and make decisions on, and to feel like you are the sole creator of your reality. And that's what the 10-1 actually is. It's the instant manifestation number. It basically points out to you what happens every day in your life, and that is that you manifest based on what you focus on. Okay? So that will become very, very clear if you are aligned in that way, that this is what's going to be happening to you. Okay, so that's a preview now. In tomorrow's call for Future Forecast Formula members, we're going to go through a lot more transits because there's so much more happening in December. It's very exciting. But for Numerology Academy, I wanted to do the three main ones so you can address those with your clients. And let me get these charts out of the way and get to your questions. And then, like I said, raise your hands at pressing star 2 if you have any follow-ups or can tell me when that winter solstice actually takes place. I'd love to know, or have any questions for me. So let me go to the first question here. This is from Andrea. She says, can you recommend some reliable sources regarding color and numbers? I've come across many, but they all say something different. Any explanation for this? This is a really good question, Andrea, and I just want to preface it by saying that there are definitely colors that align with not only numbers, but with the astrology signs, and also with the notes in the musical scale. This is very well known in the community that I also live in, which is classical music, that some sentient musicians actually see the colors of notes, and they don't change. Like, you know, I believe that the note C is red, et cetera, et cetera. And so with numbers and colors, it's slightly different. I'm not quite sure whether I can honestly say, and I can't, that every number only resonates to a certain color. And the reason I can't say that is because I don't see colors with numbers. So in my experience, I have to trust what others come up with. I do have a system that was handed down to me many years ago that I really trust that aligns the numbers with the actual colors. And not only that, it goes deeply into the significance of those colors and numbers. And that system I did teach in a live event about 3 years ago. And that event is not available. I don't have a DVD that I'm selling anymore of that event. But what I'm going to be doing in the future in my list of webinars that I will be creating for Numerology Academy members is I'm going to do a course on this, on how the numbers and colors are combined, and it's going to be based on this course that I taught. I will basically be putting it on a PowerPoint and releasing it that way. So that's coming up in the future, so I don't want to really go into it now because there's actually a lot more involved than just the colors and numbers. There's a way to actually see what the color is of your name, and that's what I taught in this seminar. So it's very exciting information, and I will be releasing it. Just don't exactly know when, That my wealth seminar is going to come up first for in terms of the numbers and wealth, and that's something I want to do very quickly. That one and the name one, which I've been promising for a long time, but the color one will follow eventually. So the second question is that you love the Prosperity Power DVD and you got into the fingerprint reading for the various schools that Beth teaches on that DVD series. She was my special guest for that live event. Beth Davis, I'm talking about. And you're asking, have you noticed if there is any direct link to the different schools and the numbers? I notice that I'm in a school of service and my personal shift number is a 6. How interesting. And I absolutely agree that that's fascinating, Andrea. That is something that I absolutely think there is a link. In fact, I have the number 6 as one of my 3 important numbers, and I am also school of service. So I really do feel that you're onto something here, and I believe it's something that if you're interested in pursuing, you could. I personally don't have the time nor the interest in pursuing hand analysis because it's very it's just even staring at a hand and trying to find all the lines to me is not something I'm fascinated by. I want somebody else to do it for me, though, right? So if it's something that interests you, you can pursue it. One of my friends is actually Beth's colleague, Pamela Landers, and she's very sweet, and she has read my hands a couple of times, and it's, of course, been extremely fascinating. But she may know more than I because she's also into numerology, so I can actually ask her this question and see what she says. But just knowing the little bits that I do know and having taught with Beth a couple times, we both agree that there's a definite correlation, just like there is between any divination arts, right? There's always going to be this sacred connection between the divination arts because they're basically revealing the same essence in a different modality. So, but I love that you brought it up. It's absolutely fascinating. It's a great discussion for anybody who wants to delve into it. Okay, so that's your question. Let me see. We have from Jen a couple of questions. Let me just take a drink here. We've had some really strong windstorms here in LA yesterday especially, but also this morning, and it's totally cleared the air, but it's gotten it so dry, I'm just like parched. So I have to drink a little bit during this call. Okay, so Jen, you're asking, hope I'm not too late, but I've been sick all night. I'm sorry to hear that. I notice a lot of people are sick. Dogs dying, people dying. I'm thinking this has something to do with energy going on. Okay, that's your first question. Okay, you know what? This is a good question. You know, I just did talk about what we're experiencing with the zero point and the windows to the soul and, you know, this internal, external shifting. Well, anytime there is shifting, there is going to be transitioning. Transitioning and shifting are the same thing. So for some people, that shift is moving from one existence to another realm, which would be life and death, right? For others, it is an actual shift within a life. That's what it would be for most of us. And then the shifting can take place as you getting physically ill. And why is that? Well, because you're growing. Your body needs time off to digest everything that's going on. You know, I give the example of my daughter, Clara. Every time she gets sick, which isn't often, but when she does, what I notice is, you know, she's out of school for a few days because she just is not feeling well at all, has a bad cold or something. After that cold is over and in the process of going through the cold, she has matured. There's a maturity that's happened with her, and I've noticed it since she was young. And so I do feel that when our body, this often happens, it's not necessarily that you have a weak immune system. It's just that you, and for some it is that, of course, but very often for those of us who are doing a lot of internal work, it's a time to reflect and let go. And so another reason this is happening, Jen, just to explain from the numerology perspective, is that we're, first of all, in a 7 universal year, which is the number of rest. But in November, we're in a 9 universal month. And 9 also is about release, which is rest. In fact, if you're in an 18 cycle, whether it's a personal month or personal year, and even personal days, you can look at this. Those days and dates and years, you, months and years, you do need to rest more. The number 18 is literally about taking physical time to sleep more. So the number 9, coupled with the number 7 in November, is asking us to do more resting. You know that when you add 9 to any of the dates in November, it is doubling up the energy, right? So that will give you a really good idea of what I'm talking about here. The doubling up of energy can be quite draining, you know, because everything's magnified. So if you feel something, it's even more pronounced, and that can be tiring. Anything that is magnified can tire you out. On the other hand, it can also elevate you, you know, energetically. So it just depends on what it is that's happening with you. Like today, we're being elevated energetically in a big way. So because of the double 17. But anyway, going back to your question, yes, it is a major moment of transitions, of shifts, of life and death, segueing. And when I say life and death, I mean beginnings and endings. It doesn't literally mean people are, you know, going to die. But it does mean that people are going to die to something in themselves, and get reborn. And then once December comes, boy, will you feel that shift, because that's that 10-1 month, right? So that's really where it's going. So right now you're releasing, you're resting. Okay, your second question is, when I look at a chart, say mine, how do I find the sacred geometry? It looks complicated and messy, especially with EO lines. I don't know what EO lines are. What do you mean by EO? What could that mean? Do you mean EO addition, the program? I'm not sure what you mean by EO lines. Anyway, you're saying, especially with EO lines crossing each other, give me some clues on what to focus on as far as pulling it apart and reading the main shapes. I don't have your chart in front of me, so I'm not quite, I mean, I'd have to take some time to look at that. Look, here's the thing. Sacred geometry, it pops out at you. So that's why being with a birth chart is a process. It's not just that you look at it and get everything in the first reading. There are many things that can pop out, especially if you allow your program, your software program, to have a wider degree of windows, so that more angles show up. So what I mean by that is, if you allow the trines to be 7 degrees, as opposed to, in a lot of programs, they might be 5-degree window given for trines, right? If you move it up to 7 and then move the squares to maybe to 8 or 9, you'll see a lot more sacred geometry in your software. You don't have to do that in your first time you look at a chart, but then if you want to see a little bit more, you can widen it a bit more, especially the squares and oppositions can have a wider window because they're so pronounced, especially if they are in the same sign, meaning, you know, that you have a square from Aries to Leo. So in any case, I'm getting ahead of myself here. What you want to do is spend time looking at the chart, meditating on it, and you'll suddenly really start seeing shapes. And one of the things I do, Jen, is I draw the shapes in colors. So I use green and blue for certain colors. And for example, I use green for my trines, I use blue for my inconjuncts and my semi-sextiles, which are the 30 degree and the 150 degree. Then I use orange, I use red, you know, those are more for the oppositions and squares. And there's just different colors I use just to delineate what the actual aspect is. And then I pull those together. Right, then the colors themselves allow me to paint the picture a lot easier because now it's color-coded. Okay, so that's one way I do it. And so every chart is different. Everyone has their own unique exploration. That's what makes it so fascinating. So you'll have to play with it a little bit. What do you say here? Also, if people have more organized or recognized shapes or more odd shapes, what does that mean? Well, I don't know what you mean by odd shapes, but the recognized ones, of course, are like the actual grand trines, or the ones that are the achievement triangles, and the very straightforward shapes. When they have kites, or shapes that are more not quite as like finger of God, something like that, it does indicate a uniqueness to the person. So it definitely adds some spice, to the chart. On the other hand, it doesn't need to be there for the person to have that unique quality, because there's more to it than just that sacred geometry. There are the numbers in the charts, and there are the actual placements of where the planets are in relation to their rulerships, or in relation to their numerology chart, right? There's just so much more to look at. So it doesn't necessarily mean anything that's dramatic, right? You have to put the whole picture together here. Where can I read up more about the shapes? Well, look, in Numerology Academy, we do have the discussion of the shapes. I believe it's in level 2. There are books out there that you can get on the actual sacred geometry. I don't have that in front of me right now, but it's something that you can do some research on. I can see what I can do about that, but it is, there's definitely research out there, or you can look online as well, of course. Okay, then the final question you asked is, how do I print a chart on EO? And that must be, when you say EO, do you mean EO edition? Because you're saying the letter E, like not I. So that's what's confusing me. When I print a chart on EO, can I print a chart without the lines in the middle, so I can draw them in myself? That's a great question. I've never tried that. Here's what I would suggest you do. You can turn off all your aspects. If you turn them off, you will absolutely print a chart with just the planets. And I bet you they have a section. I haven't researched this, but I bet you they have a way to print a chart without those aspects. Okay? I bet you they do. That's something maybe to ask them. So I can't imagine they wouldn't. So, okay, that is that. And again, press star 2. I will get to your questions in a moment. If you have any follow-ups to what I'm talking about, or have a question about your chart or anything, let's see. We'll go to Lorraine now. Tanya, in a situation where you don't have someone's exact birth time and the person may not be able to obtain it, what process do you use? I've seen a chart rectified using major events, life events, and I've seen a noon chart used, but I'm wondering if you do something different using numerology, since a person tends to have numeric patterns. Ooh, what a cool question. Okay, look, when a person doesn't have a birth time, I often do two charts. I always do the 12 p.m., which is right in the middle, right, 12 p.m., and then I do what's called a sunrise chart, which is around 6 a.m. I have not gone in and figured out, based on a numerology profile, what the birth time would be. That sounds very complicated to me. I prefer, and I've done this, the rectification process, and I've done that for clients. And it is very, very powerful. But we do have to sit there together, and this is what I do in my complete astronumerology calls. We do literally have to sit there together, and I intuit something, and I ask, did something happen at this time in your life? Or the person tells me something, and then I hone in and I see between the events how the time becomes more and more exact. And I've done that for a few people, and it's been very profound. And then they found out later that, yes, that was the time, right? So there is a way to do it, but it's a process of great intuition, of tuning into the code, and having the client with you as well, so you can tune in, or if they're not with you, getting a list of those events from that person so you can tune in. So that's how I do it. But I love your idea of the numerology. I have to think about that. Okay, your other question is, when using a remedy to change the vibration of a house number, and Lorraine's not talking about astrological houses. She's literally talking about her actual home, physical home. So when using a remedy to change that vibration, does it stay the same until the person moves, or Does it change to support life events or personal years? Okay, so basically what Lorraine is asking is, when you're living at an address that is not conducive to creating harmony or attracting wealth or good relationships, or it just isn't in harmony with your code, your birth code, what I always suggest is to put a number inside the front door, inside the office door, if you're in an office building, to augment the vibration of the home. And so I help you choose that number. So what she's asking is, what Lorraine is asking, does it change to support personal years? And my answer to that is not. No, it does not. You say here that my house number is a 4. You had me add a 2 to soften the vibration when I was in a 3 personal year. I just started a 5 personal year, and now the 4 plus 2 feels a bit heavy. My birth code numbers are 1, 5, and 2. You know, that may be because precisely what you're saying. Your birth code is a 1 and 5, which is 157 triad, and then your other number is a 2, which is 248 triad. So in this case, I would suggest, if you're a 4 address, to try the number 1. I mean, I wouldn't want to live in a house that resonates to 5. You know, if you add the number 1, it's a 5 house. But you're a 1 and a 5, and so it would trigger 2 of your 3 numbers. So you may like this energy if you want a lighter energy. It's just what will happen is, and I have friends who are in 5 houses and they love it, but that's because they're congruent with the numbers. What will happen is you'll have more traffic, more people coming through, more unexpected events, but it'll definitely feel lighter and more changeable, and maybe that's to your liking because of your code. Okay, so I think one reason, I don't remember talking to you about this, but one reason I would have put a 6 for you at the time is you may have asked me about the financials, and that to me was a great way to go at the time. The other choice for you, because of your code, is to put a 4 inside the door and make it an 8 home. I just want to warn you, though, that 8 homes feel much more business-like. They're not really conducive to family life. So if that's what you do, I don't know if you have kids at home or if you want it to be more homey, but that homey feeling is not as strong in an 8 home. It definitely will, you know, help with the finances. It'll definitely help you up-level your power in your business if you work at home, especially. And it does resonate with that 11-2 that you listed. So you can try those and see how they feel. But in terms of your question, do you change based on personal years? No, you usually just find the one that works for you in your home, you know, to change it up. Okay, so let's go to your questions. We have, let's see here, I'm going to unmute Erica 208. Let's see here. Hello?
Hi, Tanya. It's Rayora.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fairly well. I'm kind of in the same boat with Jim, though. I'm dealing with a little health issue problem, but nothing major. What I wanted to discuss a little bit, Tanya, was the fact that, and I think we've talked about this before, but I think I need a little more clarity on it. Not all programs, astrology programs, or ephemerises agree as far as the exactment of numbers. And yet when you're dealing with both astrology and numerology,
mm-hmm.
you're going to give a definition of a number. Now when you've got mixed signals coming in,
mm-hmm.
as far as what's the real number for a certain aspect or a certain station position or an eclipse or anything else, the seconds mm-hmm. might vary or the minutes might vary, and sometimes it's even by a whole degree. So how do you know what to do numerology-wise on something like that?
That's a great question, and it's one that I deal with often, especially in regards to lunations, eclipses, those big transits, where even online there's disagreement on the timing of it.
Yeah.
So the way I go about it is, if it is a slow transit, it's easy, like Pluto-Uranus, you can always find the exact degree. You may not find the exact time, though, because it's so slow. It stays on that minute for a long time, like, you know, for a lot of minutes, actually. So you have to decide, well, what is the exact moment, right? In that case, I don't really go into the numerology code for the time, only for the day, because there is a disagreement there. In terms of an eclipse, I actually literally go in myself into my astrology programs, and I find when does it become exact in my program, and that's the number that I use. Like I said, the time of it is not as important to me as the degree number. And the degree number, I have not found that there's that many differences when it comes to degree numbers for these events, because they literally are, at least in my software program, when I look online to double check everything that I do, it tends to be what it is, you know, the exact degree. Now, the minute may be different. The minutes sometimes are different. And that's where you just have to decide, am I going to talk about the minutes, or am I just going to talk about the degree, you know, that number. So it sometimes can be an issue. For birth charts, it never is. It applies more to some transits, because we have to figure out exactly, you know, what the astronomers are saying, what the astrology, what the ephemeris, how it all goes together. And there, you know, if I find there is some kind of discrepancy, I may not even focus on the degree number, if there is. And that's not that often, though, that I find that. So, but, yeah, it is definitely a good question to ask, and it matters. You know, the 0-0 degree for all these new moons, that is obviously 0-0 degrees. There's no doubt about it. Most of the degrees that I'm giving you are exactly what is written everywhere. So when there is a discrepancy, I either don't go into the degree, or I figure out myself in my program, well, what is the time, you know, that this actually happens. I don't know if that helps or not. It's not really a clear-cut answer to your question, because it is a little bit hard sometimes, you know, when we have these different ways of, you know, of finding out when something is exact, right? So,
well,
and I wish it was the same. I wish we all had the same system we were using. But it seems at times that even in the ephemerises that they printed at the beginning of this century, or before it even started, the times are an hour off because of the way our clocks have been now readjusted. So do you see what I mean? Like the times that they used were for a different standard time than what we're using. So that's where your trusty software program has to come in, where you figure out, okay, well, it says 12:13 p.m., but it's actually 11:13 a.m., you know. So I don't know if you found that.
It gets confusing.
Very confusing, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What triggered this question for me again, well, I've been dealing with it quite a bit over the last month with just looking ahead and looking through the month and so forth, but I noticed when you said the full moon was at 0 degrees, if I heard you right, you said that 7 then was like
the
it was 7
moon.
Seconds or something like that.
Yeah,
I'm looking
moon.
At the ephemeris, and it says 0 degrees 6 seconds.
Okay, I have 7 in mine. It's the new moon, just to be clear. So let's see.
Well, I'm looking at the 22nd of December. Am I on the right one?
Yes, you are. I have 7 seconds in my astrology program, and that is, yeah, you know what? I think what they're putting down is, this happened before where I noticed that the second was one number off. I actually go into my program, and I literally hone in on what it actually is. And very often it is 1 minute off. And I don't exactly understand how they get to the 06. But when I go online and when I do my program, it's definitely 07. So here's where I don't know how to answer that question. It's definitely at 1:37 a.m., and that's the exact time that I'm looking at in my software program, right?
So it's better to use our software program as a final thing.
I do, yes. You know why? Because
and yet software programs vary too.
They do, I know. But the reason I do that, and I do double check online as well. I don't just do one thing. I go online and see what is written about the time. So I do a Google search for that particular new moon or full moon and see what's written. But what I do is, yes, I look at my software program. And the reason is when this ephemeris was initially created, like I said, you know, the time, at least from what I'm gathering, because sometimes it's an hour off, sometimes there's a minute off for the exact moment in time, has shifted. And I don't understand how that works. I can't explain it, but I never adhere to what the ephemeris actually says. I have to figure it out myself. So I haven't done that in a long time. So I get a general idea, but then I go in and hone in on the exact moment. So, and like I said, it's the degree numbers that you can pretty much rely on. It's the time that sometimes, you know, the degree, not the minutes, the degree. So it's the time that sometimes varies by 1 or 2 minutes or by a whole hour because of the daylight saving time issue that can happen sometimes. It's really strange. Like, that part I don't get. Like, I just did the new moon, full moon, and it, one of them, I believe it was the full moon in the ephemeris, said a time that was literally an hour off. And I was like, okay, so Greenwich Mean to them is different than Greenwich Mean now, or Universal Time is different than Greenwich Mean Time. There's something going on there. So, but it didn't happen with the new moon. It was just the full moon. I was like, okay, well, how is that? How can it just be one of the two? So that's why the going online part is important. But I can't give you, unfortunately, like an answer that'll satisfy me or you on this one. It's a very interesting conundrum we're in here. On that issue, you know. So
one aspect that I wrestled with somewhat was the alignment between Pluto and Uranus that comes up on, I guess, the 26th. Now, I wrestled between the 26th and the 27th, and it's because on the 26th, according to the ephemeris, it had 12 degrees, 51 minutes and 1 second, and then versus, along with 11, 59, 3 on that date, and the next date it jumped to 12, 49, 9 and 12, 0, 1, 1. So I played with that back and forth. Is it the 26th or the 27th?
Mm-hmm.
And I finally went with the 26th because I thought it was a little bit closer. But, boy, howdy, how do you do that?
Huh? Oh, my gosh. Yes, I know. Are you talking about the Pluto-Uranus square on the 15th and 16th? Because you're confusing me right now when you say 26th, 27th. Because there is no...
November.
Oh, you're talking about November. Okay.
November.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, let's go back to that date, see what you're talking about here. Okay. I'm not exactly sure where this is at, but I know what you're talking about, and this is what I'm saying. When there are slow moving planets and they're right at midnight, or you're not sure exactly what day they belong to, the actual exact point can last quite a while because they're so slow moving. So it's, mm-hmm. it can be confusing. And what was happening too, or what can happen is, if one's going retrograde or direct, it slows it down even more. You know? So it's like they're sitting on this minute point for a while. So it can, yeah, sometimes. So what I do then is I always delineate. Okay, so for some people, you know, like East Coast time for this Pluto-Uranus situation, East Coast time and everything east of there, Europe, Asia, Australia, it's going to be on the 15th. West Coast, Central Mountain, and anywhere else, you know, in South America, it's going to be on the 14th. So that's confusing, but I have to say it because that it happens at such a strange time, you know. Same goes for mm-hmm. the new moon. The new moon's even more strange because it's at 1:37 a.m. So what do you say? You have to just delineate the actual time zones for that one. And that one, I still don't know. Do you know, Rara, when the solstice is? I haven't
had time to check.
No, because
I
wonder if it's...
that yet.
Yeah, I really do want to know now what time the solstice is, because I have a feeling it's literally when that new moon happens. And that would be quite something, if it is, because just with the message of this new moon, it's very, very profound. You know, it definitely is within hours. I can't imagine it wouldn't be, because the solstice is on the 21st. So, okay, let me see. Oh, you know what? I just found it. It's at 11:03 Universal Time, the solstice. Uh-huh. So this new moon, which happens right at the beginning, obviously right at the beginning of Capricorn, we're talking here either 6 minutes at Rara's ephemeris or 7 minutes, right? That's like literally right when the sun enters Capricorn. I mean, moments, right? So, and of course the solstice is at that moment. So this new moon and the solstice are extremely close, extremely close. It's a very powerful solstice. So all of you just know that for this year, that new moon solstice is really, really big. So,
well, that's following the patterning that I've seen in you two of the cosmic events through this whole year. They're clustering together. The impact is just layered so deeply. It's just mind-blowing.
Yes. We're getting a real wake-up call. It's like you can't escape the energy, literally. I mean, you have to listen. And the whole year, of course, the seven is about that. You've got to listen. So,
I know.
And that's the final week, pretty much. It's the final few days of the year we're getting this moment here of balance. You know, it's not the equinox, but it still is a moment of balance because of the double zero and the movement into winter for us, summer in the southern hemisphere. That's a big moment, obviously. So, yeah, I'm going to really look more deeply into this because it's very, very important. And, you know, that time of year in general, as we know, is an important time for all of us as we wrap up the year and take stock of everything. And to have this happen at that time is really quite extraordinary. So, like I said, you know, look at the numbers, look at the layers, have fun with it. And definitely, all of you, find out where it is in your chart. Where is this point? You know, what is it? Is it triggering anything in your chart? Like, look at where 00 Capricorn is. That is a cardinal point, all of you. You know, it's a cardinal point. That's when the seasons change. They change right on those cardinal points. So all of you in Future Forecast Formula, you know what I'm talking about. You want to look at where that is because it's a very big moment. I'm just looking at, I don't even know whose chart this is. But anyway, it is very exciting, I have to say. It's very exciting. So,
okay.
Anything else?
Well, that'll cover it for me this time. I just wanted to play with that a little bit more because it really hasn't. Partly it's that Neptune thing I got bounced around my ascendant. It tends to throw in some extra confusion for me. But I just wanted to get your input again because I know that others are probably wondering the same thing from time to time.
Yes.
So
I wish I had a better answer for you. I really do. So,
What the bottom line for me is, I'll go through all the data that I can accumulate, and then I go to my intuition and run with that. That's the final analysis point for me.
Absolutely. Please do that. That is always the best way for you.
And if it doesn't agree with everybody else out there, that's just the way it is.
That's exactly right. But you see, here's the thing. I love what you just said, Rara, because your intuition will give you the right message anyway. It'll give you the message that needs to be heard. And that's really the point in this. Don't get too hung up sometimes. So your point about the intuition is exactly right. Whatever comes through for that moment, that degree that you're looking at intuitively is what people who are reading and listening to you need to hear, right? So that's how you know. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. My sense.
Yep.
Thank you, Tanya.
You're
sorry,
welcome. Have a good month.
Thank
okay.
you.
Bye-bye. All right, we have many more questions, so let me go to the next person in line. That is, let's see, area code 918. Hello? Hello? You are on live. Let's see. This is Oklahoma, I believe, 918
Hello?
Area. Yeah, hi.
Oh, hi. Sorry, Tanya. How are
That's
you?
Okay. I'm fine. Who is this?
This is Kwanzaa.
Hi, Kwanzaa. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. I've got a couple questions for you, but before I ask the questions, I just want to say I'm loving the discussion today. A lot of the comments that people are making, same things going on in my life, so I feel like I'm in light company, so that feels good.
Oh, good.
Yes. And then I really enjoyed the money-making seminar that you had. And I just had a question about that, too. But my first question is basically when you're helping a client, let's say with baby naming, and baby comes, and let's say their birth numbers are 8 and 7 and 8. How would you choose a name that is, I mean, of course you want to choose a fortunate name, but would you also, when it comes to like the full destiny, the destiny number, like would you choose something that's in harmony with the date so that it kind of, I don't know, is there a way to kind of harmonize their?
Okay. The rule is destiny number never matters in the name. What matters is the day of birth and the life purpose number, and they only matter if they are a 4 or an 8. Every other number doesn't matter. You just want a fortunate name. But if there is a 4 and 8, you did mention an 8, so if that person was born on the 8th, 17th, or 26th, or has, you know, a life purpose number that reduces to 8, like number 35 or something, right, then they are in a special category in terms of current names. And so that has to be considered when choosing the fortunate name for them. But everybody else, all you are looking for is a fortunate number. That's it. So, and it doesn't have to align with the destiny number. It doesn't have to align with life purpose. Really, it doesn't. I mean, my name is a 10, which is a 1, and I don't have any 1-5-7s in my chart, you know, in my 3 important numbers. So I'm not aligning it at all. And so I don't need to. I also don't have a 4-8 in my birthday, so I don't have to take that in consideration. So those are the actual rules for making names. And it makes it easier because you're not actually trying to correlate all of this. You know, it makes it a lot harder. If you're trying to find spellings that correlate with certain numbers every time, it's going to be a lot harder for you to do that. And you don't need to, except in that example I gave you, right, with the 4 and 8. So then you have to be more aware of certain numbers. So,
okay, thank you.
Yeah.
And then I had a question I was going to ask during the money-making webinar, but I think you prefer that asked here. And I had a question, you know, most of my important transits and events are happening in my 12th house.
Mm-hmm.
And the ruler of my 12th is in my 8th house. So it's kind of wondering, you know, how would I take that information and use it to generate wealth for 2015. I don't know. When I look at the 12th house, I'm like, it just, I don't know. It's just,
Yeah. And I hear a cute little infant. Is there a little baby? Aww.
There is. Born on the
17th. Really? Wow.
Yes,
big day for your baby then. Okay. Okay. I just had to say that because you know, I'm a mom. I can hear the baby. Okay. Okay. 12th house, soul growth. That's a huge house. And so for you, you know, if the ruler, the ruling planet you're saying is in the 8th. Okay. It depends on the planet. What's the ruling planet for you?
Neptune.
What is? It's Neptune. Okay. So you have Pisces on the 12th house. So. Oh, okay, so that's deeply spiritual. Okay, so let me see here how to interpret this. Yeah, if you have a lot of stuff happening in the 12th house, for sure it's going to be one of those awakening years for you, deeply, deeply spiritual awakenings. And so in terms of making money, see, it will translate for you because that Neptune in the 8th house, that's a money house. So if you allow yourself to go where you can be that spiritual facilitator for others, right, you will have money coming towards you. That is how you will bring in the finances. That's one of your signs just by that setup that you just described to me. So, of course, you have to do it with yourself first in order to be there for others. So whatever is happening in your life that needs clearing on a deep level, get it cleared. And then and what I find, actually, Kwanzaa, is that in the nature of your work, you will be clearing your own life, because you will attract the exact clients that have the same issues that you have. We always do. Whatever clients you attract, they are bringing up something that you need to look at, too. So it's just how nature works. It's how it all, you know, it makes sense. So it's not necessarily that you have their issue that is not clear, but it's something that you're totally either just experienced or still finishing up on, or just have the perfect response for them because it's something that you just dealt with or understand. So you will attract a mirror of what will help you step up into your life, and especially with this 12th house magnification, that will be the case for you. So whatever you feel is a way for you to give some kind of service in a very deep way. I mean, this is the 12th house of soul growth, of secrets. So people will come to you with very private things if that is what you do, if you are a kind of consultant or counselor, you know, a spiritual advisor. They'll come to you with those issues that are very private and ask you how to, you know, what you can help them with. And sometimes they'll just say, well, can my name be changed and be helped? And then that's all you deal with. But if you have long, deep consultations available, you know what I mean, where it's like an astro-numerology consultation or an in-depth numerology consultation, you're going to be going to some very deep realms with your clients. So definitely this is a big year for you to step into that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Do you? Yeah. You're okay with that?
Yeah, there's been a lot. I've definitely noticed a lot of spiritual growth and different things. Even my dreams are just so vivid and... There's a lot going on.
Well, that's
so
Pisces
that.
Neptune. That's Pisces,
yes.
Neptune for sure, yeah.
And a lot of that does resonate, especially with the mirroring and attracting people, and there's a lot going on. So that all mm-hmm. definitely resonates with me. So thank you very much.
Yeah. You're welcome. It's exciting when you can really accept and see what it means and not be afraid of it and just say, okay, that's it. That's how it is. I'm going to go for it. You know, it's like,
yeah. Do you, I don't know if you have time to look at my chart really quickly to see about that, was it Capricorn New Moon you were talking about? And does that have any type of aspect with this, I guess my 12th house or my 8th house or anything? I don't know.
Let me see. I'm just opening your chart. Okay, here it is. So 0 degree Capricorn is...
I think it's right in the midheaven, though. I'm not sure.
No, your midheaven is 25 degrees Capricorn, so it's in your ninth house. It's literally right where your ninth house begins. So your ninth house begins at 2 degrees Capricorn, so this is in your ninth house. And, of course, the ninth house does govern your higher education, your belief systems, anything to do with morality and philosophy and foreign cultures and long-distance traveling. I don't know if you're going to travel, if you have plans to travel, or if there's just that your mind is traveling on this level. Because sometimes, you know, I'm dating somebody right now who's just a very cosmic kind of person. And so his mind is constantly tuning in to, like, other realms, like off-Earth realms. It's just how he is. This is the kind of person he is. So his traveling happens that way. He doesn't necessarily have to get on a plane and fly to China. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. You can explore in different ways when I say this. So it's either that, or you're focusing on publishing something. This is a house of publishing, right? So it can be that. So just look at what it means to you. It definitely governs your beliefs and your ideas of how the world is dealing with things and how people around you are viewing things. What is their perspective, and is it congruent with yours, or does it mirror something that you realize, oh my gosh, you know, maybe this isn't quite what I thought it was. Maybe this whole, you know, could be in politics, it could be in anything, you know, it could be any idea that you look at might shift during this time because of it representing your belief system and philosophy. So, yeah.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good luck with that. And because Capricorn, by the way, it does rule your midheaven. It does rule your midheaven. As you say, it's 25 degrees, so it's not near this new moon. But because the new moon is in Capricorn, yes, it will affect your career. Just I want to keep, you know, make sure you understand that as well, since Capricorn is the ruler of your 10th house, right? So it will affect that part. So if you have any projects that you want to launch between December 22nd and whenever the next new moon is, you know, end of January, it's a good time to focus on that, right? So keep that in mind.
Thank
yeah.
you. Great.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, good. Well, good luck with everything and with your baby.
Appreciate it.
All right. We'll talk soon. Okay. So let's go to the next call, and that is, let's see, area code 310. Hello?
Yeah, hi. Tanya?
Hi, who's this?
This is Davina.
Hi, Davina, how are you?
I am just confused as always after listening.
Okay.
I just barely got on the call because my 19-year-old son, oh my God, he is interesting. He's a Libra. So my thing is, a very basic question is, when I look at the outer numbers on my chart, there are a lot of 26s on there, which is my day of birth. And
mm-hmm.
I just wanted to know the significance of that, especially since we're moving into that 8 year and then and I'm going to be 50. So there's just so much going on. I just want to, and I'm changing careers. I want to, not want to, but building a speaking career, speaking and teaching the universal laws and principles and
mm-hmm.
how to manifest your heart's desires. So I feel I'm in alignment with that. I just wanted to know the significance of the minute, the degrees and the minutes when they add up to like your, what is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because what is it? So what do you have me under? Do you have me under Terry Lynn Blake or Davina Bordeaux? Because usually you can't find my chart.
I have your chart in front of me now. So it's there. I've got it. So here's the thing about your question, it's pretty cool. You are born on the 26th. That's one of your three important numbers, 26-8.
Mm-hmm.
And then your ascendant and midheaven, and that means all four of your four corners in your chart are all 26. So that is pretty awesome. That is quite an important number. That is the most important number for you, obviously, in your chart. In your astronumerology, you're the complete chart because of that. The four angles in your chart are the most important part of your chart. So to have them be the same number and then have them be the same number as one of your important numbers means, wow, that's big. So, yes, to answer your question, next year being an 8 universal year, absolutely
mm-hmm.
is that a big deal for you. I mean, yeah. The fact that you're also turning 50 and leaving the 40s behind, which you can celebrate.
Yes.
Because the 50s will feel very different than your 40s. Just by virtue of that five being there, you're going to have a lot more flexibility and fun. And, you know, that's when the wisdom really starts of the first 50 years in your life. Now you're, like, really understanding how to let go of stuff that doesn't matter, right? Just to be flexible.
Yeah.
Move and, like, who cares what anybody else thinks at this point? And in our 40s, we're still worrying about that stuff, you know? And
yes.
50s is like, forget about it. I'm just doing what I want to do. So, that's what you'll feel, you know? And so for that to be happening on the 26th of January, I mean, you're even celebrating this right on the onset of the year, which is pretty extraordinary. You know, I mean, that's really, really important. So it's a very, very big year for you, absolutely. You will be yourself 126. I mean, aren't you going to be in a 17-year, too?
Yeah, 17-8, yes.
Well, hello. I mean, that's pretty huge, don't
yeah,
you think?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just looking at this thing. Even your personal year is going to be an 8.
Mm-hmm.
And, Yeah. You can just expect some major, and that means this year, if we're looking at what this year means, it's a double seven, because we're in a seven universal year, you're in a seven personal year. Obviously, there's just a lot this year that you've had to figure out and look at in a way that maybe wasn't so easy for you, because your numbers are not in that triad. You're not a 1-5-7 triad person.
No.
So this year has not really been the easiest, but you're going to move into what's going to feel like total home. Like you're going to hit the ball out of the ballpark next year, basically. You know, it's really big for you. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Good. That's good. Because, so that's what I was looking at. Because I said, well, I wonder, is that normal for people to have those, you know, the degrees, 26, like you said, at the ascendant, the descendant, mid-heaven, and that south, whatever. South
it's called the nadir. Yeah, it's the four corners. It's not. To answer your question, it is not that common for those all to be the same number. So it does happen. I do have it in my chart, so it can happen, but it's not. Most people don't have them be the same. Exactly.
Oh, and I'm looking at this right now, mate, because I think I'm starting to download a lot of stuff also, because I'm looking at my eighth house, and it's Taurus in Jupiter. I mean, wait, not Taurus in Jupiter. Oh, my God. Wait. Taurus is the sign. Yeah, okay. And it's 35.
Let's see. You're looking at which house
eight.
Now?
I'm looking at the eighth house, and it is Taurus. It's 35, wait a minute, oh, 16, excuse me, dang it, 16 degrees, 35 minutes in Jupiter, in the eighth house.
Yeah, your Jupiter is at 16 degrees, 35 minutes, that's right. So, the 35 minutes, it's not as strong an indicator, except when you're at 0 degrees, then the minutes really, really matter. But if you're going to really go into the deep astrology, because this is your birth chart, then this is not a transit we're talking about. This is literally a birth chart. You have the exact time of birth. Then, the 35 does matter, and you can add it to the 1 plus 6. You can look at the 35 separately as being an 8. You can absolutely do that. That is spiraling very, very deep into your chart now, where you can do that.
Good. Because I guess it's always made me nervous, the numbers, but now all of a sudden I did some clearing work or had some done, and I just felt really, really drawn to really start pursuing my astrological chart and understanding it. And so let's see, what is the other thing? Let's see, I just need to do some more research with the stuff, because when I'm looking at my 12th house, I think I like that. Because I have not everything in Virgo, but I have those mystery planets, Neptune and Pluto.
You have Uranus and Pluto conjunct in your 12th house.
Dang it.
There's a whole generation that has Uranus conjunct Pluto, and we were all, born in the 60s pretty much. That's when the revolution happened. That's when Kennedy was killed and Martin Luther King was killed and the other Kennedy was killed. And it's all in the 60s. The 60s were a major turning point. That was that conjunction, Uranus-Pluto. So those of us born during that time have this conjunction, and yours happens to be in the 12th house, which makes it very deep and profound, and also a way for you to connect to your generation, because you understand them on that very, very deep, intimate level. The other nice thing about your chart, which ties this in, is you do have a kite, and that's a very profound geometric symbol, and it's pointing to Jupiter in your eighth house. So that means you should be earning quite a lot of money once you are congruent with your purpose. That is a very nice thing to have in your chart, right? So,
Cool. Well, I think I'm pretty clear on the purpose now, is to bring it's joy through self-expression, and for me, it's teaching women primarily how to get in touch with their intuition and let that be the guide of their life.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Very good.
I feel really cool. So I feel really aligned with it, and I just joined Lisa Nichols' program to teach me how to be a sustainable speaker and bring that out. And we have a lot of similarities, too. Oh, and I know what I was going to tell you, is when you did this thing with Oprah, that we have the four same planets in the same whatever it was on that call. I couldn't believe it. I almost fell over on the floor. Yeah, it was. So my midheaven is Gemini. Gemini.
The Mercury Gemini. Those people who have that Mercury Gemini midheaven ascendant thing, let me tell you, you guys are pretty bright. So I mean, obviously you want to see where your Mercury is too, because that defines it defines a lot. You got to find Mercury in your chart because Mercury rules.
It's in the fourth house.
Yeah. So you really
Mercury
ground
and
people.
Venus.
Yeah, so
yeah,
you
Mercury
ground, especially women. Yeah, so for you, Mercury's the most important planet in your chart aside from Uranus, which rules your sun sign, Aquarius. But Mercury's very, very important because it rules both your ascendant and your midheaven, which is for Oprah the case. And
yep.
So you find out where is that Mercury. In your case, it's in the fourth house. It's conjunct your Venus, so very
yep.
much connected to women. But also showing that you ground women in their connection to their heritage. So there's something about their actual cultural or spiritual or even actual genetic heritage that you actually connect to them. Because the fourth house is about that, right? It's about
mm-hmm.
where
yes.
you feel at home. So,
yes.
So there's something that you ground in them on that level that's really profound. And it's in Capricorn, which is also
yes.
very grounding, a sign.
Mm-hmm.
So you have that. That's where this is taking place in your fourth house. So, yeah, very, very interesting. So that's where you can spiral into this in a deep way. And it's also it's part of your grand trine there, right? You have a grand trine that's very, very strong. So as long
mm-hmm.
once you're congruent with all of that and you actually stick with one plan and you make it grow and you water it and you don't go off into other directions and leave it, like you just stick with it step by step. You will be building an empire. That's what you'll do.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So.
Yeah. Cool. Good, good, good. I really do feel congruent because this is the first year in this month. I mean, this month that I said, you know what, I'm looking at next year and what I need to do, what I need to leave off, and just really focusing on building my speaking empire because of what you said in the manifesting your destiny, but you know what I'm saying. And I was
the
able
money
to
making
join
formula
that.
One. Yeah.
Yeah.
That
I was
one.
Able
yeah.
to join that. So I'm really looking forward to, it really helped me to focus. It's like, these are the four things that I'm doing next year. I'm building my speaking business and healing within that. And that's what I'm doing.
Oh, you're talking about my program next year.
Yes, but that's
the wealth generation. Right. That wealth generation mentoring program is going to be on fire. I'm telling you, it's just really going to be a huge help to you because we're going to focus exactly on what it is you need to do to generate a higher income. And that higher income, like I said at the beginning of this call, it's directly related to your energy, right? So what are you focusing on? What are you needing to look at? And so then your income will grow as you allow us, you know, us to work together on that level. So I'm really glad because you are joining it in this perfect year for you. You know, it's really, really, really great. Good. Okay. Awesome.
Thank you.
You're
cool.
welcome. All right. Good. Well, thank you. And we will talk, I'm sure, soon. Okay. So let's move on. Okay. Do you have any other questions while I have you?
No. I'm just going to work on those degrees. And just get a better understanding of that.
Yeah, that's all you can do is just sit with it, meditate on it.
Oh, well, what chapter is that? What webinar is that? Is that the numerology one or numerology two that goes into?
I have a hard time remembering, but I know the more in-depth stuff is Numerology Academy level two, so it's probably in that one. Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Thanks.
Yeah. You're
welcome.
Okay. All right, let's go to area code 303. Hello?
Hi, Tanya. It's Rebecca.
Hey, how are you? Isn't it your birthday or something? No. I'm missing out. Your birthday was last month. Am I
October
forgetting?
October 26th was my
That's
birthday.
Right. Okay. All right. We were just talking about the number 26, and it somehow triggered me.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't know. I did submit a question, and I didn't know if you had read it yet, so I thought I would call
in.
Okay, so you can disregard that. I had a client halfway through this, and so I was on the phone with her and then got back to you. So
okay.
I have got a radio interview scheduled on December the 10th.
Okay.
Which I think is a personal day of two for me.
What's your birthday?
10/26/1946.
That's right. Okay, so let's check here. So you just entered a 7/16/7, and you said January?
December 10th? The 10th.
Oh, December 10th. Okay, so 19/1. Nice. Well, you're in a 19/10/1 month, so the 10th would, yes, be a 20-day, which is a 2. So it's a new beginnings for you.
Right.
In terms
and
of the months, yeah.
This,
okay.
I guess my question is around the number 2 is not necessarily one of the manifesting numbers.
No, it is. It's in the 248.
248, okay.
And try it.
Okay.
It's not like, okay, so here's how it works. The 8 is the real powerful manifestation
right.
number in that triad, but the 2 and the 4 are part of it. So, I mean, the 4 is about translating your ideas into the physical realm, right? Making them real in this reality that we live in, 3D reality, like a physical product or a business or whatever. The 2 is very interesting because it actually means manifesting through listening to your intuition. It's that back and forth between either being in a relationship like a call like you're doing because that's
mm-hmm.
two people.
Right.
So it's manifesting on that level through a business partnership, through a partnership, and also through your internal back and forth between you and your gut, your internal guidance system,
okay.
which is your intuition. So, yeah, it's a different, they're all different levels of the manifestation process.
Yeah, I really didn't have any choices as to the date. The next one was in January, and I kind of wanted to get this ahead of time so that I could put out an offer that would be kind of like a Christmas gift offer sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, that's good. Well, also look at this, Rebecca. You have a life purpose number that is a 11-2.
Yeah, yeah.
So anytime one of your important numbers is triggered, that's important. It doesn't even matter if they're in the manifestation triad. So you see what I mean? You happen to have two of them in that triad.
I do.
But I'm just saying this is a great day for you. Yeah.
So what I have done is I have highlighted in green every day that is one of those top three numbers on my calendar, and this particular interview happened to fall in one of those.
Hmm.
And when I saw that it wasn't, I mean, I'm in alignment with the number 8, which is manifesting for sure, because I've got
mm-hmm.
a 26th day of birth, but I just thought I'd run that by you.
Yeah, no, I like it very much for you. I do.
Okay.
I don't see any – I actually think it's a good day because, like I said, in an interview process, it is a back and forth between two people, and so that's good. And then you have the added benefit of one of your three important birth numbers being triggered, and that this is a new mini cycle for you. It's a 19-month personal
right.
month for you, and that's a 1. 19 is the Prince of Heaven number, so it's a very nice number. And by the way, your destiny is in that triad, the 157 triad. That's your career number. So you have everything activated in your favor for
okay.
this.
Okay.
And so
cool.
if you look at it at that level, I think you'll see it's going to be good. You're going to connect on a very good level with this person. And so, yes, you should definitely have an offer ready. What are you offering, if I may ask? I mean,
well,
like
I was running different things by her. This person has a huge, huge bunch of people that listen to her. She says she reaches 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I have got, for $127, I've got an astrology printout and a 20-minute live session with me. What I what she suggested, and this is what I wanted to run by you, is she said, how about making it a 30-minute live session, the printout, and then offer the top three numerology numbers as a bonus and charge $150. And then she said,
for half an hour call plus the printout plus the three numbers, I don't know, it seems a bit low. Don't you think? That's a lot of work.
Yeah, I know. But when I mentioned, she said, well, how much do you charge for your full session? And I said $497. She felt that was high. Now, she lives in Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And she's had astrologers on her program before, and of course she's comparing, you know, notes and stuff. And in order to get a lot of listeners to buy in, she said you have to keep the price down, and you know.
And I understand that, and it's just to offer something else. Then what I'm saying, I mean, you can still do a $150 thing, but I mean, this is now getting into business mentoring, but just you might want to amend it. I wouldn't, because that's a lot of work for you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm thinking, unless you want to do this just, if you want to do this just to get people in the funnel, that's one thing. And you're willing to do the work because these are, you know, targeted leads that are gonna...
Well, and I need to do that.
Okay, well then do it. Then see it as that, because sometimes we give away things at a much lower price point just to get the leads. And I understand that process. That's a good process. So if you feel like this is one of those moments, then by all means, but you have to stress, this is like a really rock bottom offer. I mean, like a price for them, and it's very special. And tell them what your usual rate is, but you're making a very special offer for her listeners only, right? And it's exclusive, and they have to purchase it by a certain date. You need to, you know, put a time limit on it, and that, you know what I'm saying? So just make it like it's really enticing, because it's really, that's a lot of work. If you're on the phone with them half an hour, you're preparing their chart.
I know. Yeah.
It's a lot of work. So, yeah. So, okay. On the back end. So, okay.
All righty. Okie doke. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I won't take time from any other callers because I know there's a bunch of people.
Yeah, no,
today.
Actually, you are the final one, as it turns out. Yes,
okay.
We
cool.
are at the end. So, you can.
So, a quick question then. She also mentioned that I might want to offer a $50 off my full session for the next 30 days after the call, which the full session is $497.
Don't ever do more than one offer.
Okay.
Ever.
Okay.
So that's always the first rule in making offers, don't make two. Make one. So you'll confuse them, and they will not know what to do, and because they won't know what to do. A confused person does not purchase ever.
Okay.
So be clear, be very precise, and then have them bite. But they will not bite if you give them two offers. So
sounds good.
Not good. So she's definitely do not listen to her for business advice. Okay.
All righty.
All right. I'm glad you asked me, though, because that could have really affected your sales. So, yeah.
Okay.
So don't do that. Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Okay. Bye. Okay. Yes. A little business advice on a Numerology Academy call. But that was good. You know, we're segueing into a big business year, and I want all of you to do well. So you just tasted a little bit of what I do with my business clients. And it's really important when you are a practitioner online to understand how that side of it works, because you can be as gifted as can be as an astrologer or numerologist or psychic or hand analyst. But if you don't know how to run your business in a proper way using the rules, especially for heart-centered entrepreneurs, there's so much to understand on that level, it can be difficult, and you're sitting there with all these gifts and you're not reaching the people, or they're not buying, or you don't know how to market, and those things are important, right? So this is the time we live in now, is where our heart-centered gifts are needed more than ever. Neptune is in Pisces. People are waking up. People are wanting us. They're looking for their purpose. purpose is a key word that has not been in the vernacular until very, very recently, and now everybody who's anybody is talking about purpose. So that means, what does purpose mean? It means looking at their spiritual, their soul. That's where you go to find your purpose. If you watch Super Soul Sunday with Oprah, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Her guests talk about purpose all the time. So it is now in the air, right? So, and this is where we come in. We step in and we help people find that. And so in order for people to find us, though, we need to know how to be present online in a way that allows people to see we exist and have wonderful things to offer. So this is why I offer my other programs, is because I have found that especially heart-centered entrepreneurs don't know how to do this, and rightly so. I didn't either, you know. So, but you can learn, and it is possible. And Rebecca is one of my VIPs and mastermind members, and she's doing very well for herself, which is great. So, so anyway, let's go back and just recap here. We're about to enter a wonderful 10-1 month for all of us. There's a lot going on in terms of release right now in November, so know that for your clients. For here in the U.S., we're about to celebrate a very big holiday next week, Thanksgiving, and so that's a wonderful moment to reflect and give gratitude. Beautiful month to do that. So for all of us, it is a special time, and we want to take advantage of these moments, these last few months of the year that are so beautiful and so deeply spiritual in so many ways, where we, you know, not only give gratitude but also connect with family. And how wonderful is that, right? So I hope all of you have a fantastic month. We will speak again, I believe, the 15th of December, another gorgeous day. And in numerology. And meanwhile, enjoy everything on this call, and hope all of you just really take advantage of this moment in your own life to reboot and then move forward. Okay, we will speak again soon. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye.